It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to play like a Jet.
With your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it. Allen tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning, 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast, number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time for an overview of what happened over the last couple of days during the NFL draft. We're going to give our thoughts overall. We're going to go pick by pick. We're going to give our grades, at least for now, because obviously they're subject to change. Everybody says, well, you can't really grade anything until they actually play. Well, we're going to give our grade for what we think it's going to turn out to be, and then maybe we'll end up being wrong. In fact, there's a good chance everybody ends up being wrong, because that's how these things go. It's not a perfect science. We're going to talk about our favorite picks from each round, so we'll have fun with this. My buddy Glenn Naughton, who covers the Jets, is the editor of JetNation.com, is here with me. Glenn, thanks so much for coming on. Man, we are on fumes. We have not slept very much the last couple of days, but here we are again, putting a bow on the NFL draft.
Yeah, it's been a long few days, as it always is. Always fun to go back and, you know, the day after and grade it. And the way I say it, Scott, because I actually just did mine, you know, I just put my article on JetNation.com with the grades. And the way I introduce it is, listen, people get upset that you grade a draft the day after. I'm not saying this is the fight. Like, we're not grading the performance, and we're grading the approach. Like, I guarantee you, all these people that say you can't grade a draft the day after, if the Jets had drafted seven punters, those people would have something to say the day after. They wouldn't be saying, well, let's wait and see how it turns out. Now, that's an extreme example, but we're looking at the approach. Like, did you go after positions that you needed now? Did you get too much of one thing and not enough of another based on what you have on the roster now? So, as you said, we're not saying we're closing the chapter on this draft and here's the final grade. No, we're looking at what the Jets did, who they took, where they might fit. And as you said, we'll get some wrong, they'll get some wrong. Nobody gets all this right, just for a fun time.
Glenn, I get your point about if the Jets had taken seven punters, but let's be real. If all seven punters were Thomas Morstead, I think the fan base would be pretty happy.
That would be a win. We'd have to take a second look at it then.
So I'm going to go through each of these. I'll give my thoughts and then an overall grade, and then Glenn will do the same. First, we start with Olufoshanu at number 11. I love the trade down. That was great. Wish they could have gotten up and gotten Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers. We know that they tried and nobody was willing to trade. At number 11, I'm going to give the Jets a B for this. I would have taken Brock Bowers just because I think you really ideally wanted a guy that could step in right away and have an impact. But I understand the thought process here. If they were out on Bowers, Vishanu was a guy that made a lot of sense, because if you look at the gap between whoever was available at wide receiver at 11 and whoever was going to be available at receiver later on, the gap wasn't that big. But if you looked at the gap between Olufashanu and whatever tackles you thought you could get later, especially if you didn't think Talaiis Fuaga and Troy Fatanu are going to be tackles in the NFL, and I think there's a good chance the Jets did believe that, then Fashanu makes a lot of sense. So I'll give them a B only because it would have been better if they could have found a way to get somebody, could have made a difference day one. That guy would have been Brock Bowers. Although, obviously, it's possible that Fashanu plays and plays a fair amount this year. We just don't know. It's an unknown. And in a win-now year, you would have preferred somebody that you know right away is going to get on the field. Third round, the Jets trading up to number 65, first pick in the third round to get Malachi Corley. If you've listened to anything I've said the last couple of months or the last couple of days, or you followed me on Twitter or anything, you know what I'm going to give this grade. That's an A. I love that pick so much. Malachi Corley should have gone in the second round. He was my favorite player in the draft. I think he's going to be an elite yak guy right off the bat while he develops other aspects of his game. I think the sky's the limit for what he could turn into. I love that pick. So like I said, that's going to get an A from me. The Jets didn't pick again until the fourth round. And when they did, it was the last pick in the round, and they grabbed Braylon Allen, the running back out of Wisconsin. I'm sorry, it wasn't the last pick. It was the second last pick in the round, number 134. I like this pick. I'm going to give it a B+. I'm not going to go higher because even though I think Braylon Allen's a good player and he should be able to make a little bit of an impact right away as running back number two, there were other directions I thought they could have gone. Jaden Hicks is somebody they could have taken if they hadn't traded down three times. So that's why I'm going to downgrade them on the overall grade later on, is because I think some of these trades were just flat out unnecessary. Then in the fifth round, the Jets ended up picking three times. And their first pick was a trade up to get Jordan Travis, the quarterback out of Florida State, at number 171. I'm not going to give this a straight A. Even though I like the value, I'm giving it an A-. And the only reason is because they had to trade up to do this. And it was after trading back, when they could have just sat where they were and not played around like this. Because they traded back, got the 190th pick, and then they used the 190th pick to jump back up. But they went up in the fifth round, whereas they dropped back in the fourth round to get that pick. So it was kind of a weird move. That said, I really like the Jordan Travis pick. So it gets an A- for me, even though there were some weird shenanigans going on around the pick. Isaiah Davis at number 173, the running back from South Dakota State. This is nothing against him, but I'm going to give that pick a D. I just don't understand it. After taking Braylon Allen in the fourth, I don't get the need to take another running back in the fifth. You could have tried to get one as an undrafted free agent, maybe even as Mr. Irrelevant if you wanted one so badly. Could have signed a veteran. Clearly, they don't think all that much of Israel Abanikanda, but I didn't like that pick. It made no sense to me. Quantez Stiggers with the last pick in the fifth round, number 176. I'm going to give this one a B-. I think ultimately this was a fine pick. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've watched a ton of tape on Quantez Stiggers, but his story is interesting. Everybody seems to think he has upside, and clearly the Jets could use a player that might be able to play safety, but definitely could give them depth at cornerback. So I like that one. And then the final pick that the Jets had was Mr. Irrelevant, the very last pick in the draft, Jalen Key at number 257 overall, the 37th pick in the seventh round. I'm going to give that one a B-. I think it was okay. They needed a safety, obviously. I thought Bo Braid probably should have been the pick here. And also, he is a little bit older at 24 years old, but still perfectly fine pick. Overall, I'm going to give the Jets a B for their draft class. I really like the Jordan Travis pick. I really like the Malachi Corley pick. I thought most of the picks were okay. The only one I really didn't like was Isaiah Davis. I thought there weren't any picks that were just straight up terrible other than that one. But I also thought that other than the Jordan Travis and Malachi Corley picks, none of them were a home run pick per se, for a variety of different reasons that I already explained. So those are my thoughts on each individual pick and my overall grade for the Jets draft class as of now. We'll revisit this in a couple of years and see how it turned out. But as of now, I'm going to give the draft class a B. Glenn, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, we're pretty much in the same ballpark on all these, Scott, if not spot on with a few of them, or you know, in total agreement.
For Fashanu, first round, same logic you had, same thing I said before the draft, that I couldn't envision a scenario where the Jets would draft a guy where essentially their hope, and I know, you know, it's not going to play out this way, but in a perfect world for the Jets, he wouldn't see the field, because that would mean that the other tackles stayed healthy all year, which is what you want. So I'm not saying he won't see the field. I'm saying if you take a guy at 11 overall and you're thinking best case scenario is this guy doesn't play, that's not a great use of resources. And it's 2 years in a row now that they've used a first round pick on a guy who will probably play 25% of the snaps or less. And the thing is that they're hoping for as few as possible, which isn't a great look. How on the flip side, very good player, a critical position at left tackle, high character guy, phenomenal performer at a high level in college. And you're expecting him to be there for many years as your left tackle eventually. So I'm giving it a B plus. And really, if the Jets had a need at left tackle, it'd be an A plus. But I'm knocking it down a little bit because you're taking a guy with the 11th pick who you hope doesn't play. So that says nothing about him. That's more, as I said, I'm looking at it as the approach the team is taking, more so than anything. Malachi Corley with that with the 65th pick overall, that's an A plus for me. It's a perfect match of his skill set and Aaron Rodgers, the way he likes to play the game. We've talked about this, those quick hitters at or around the line of scrimmage. Really like what Corley brings to the table. Powerful guy, tackle breaker, runs people over. He's a guy that you can hit on a quick slant or a bubble screen, and he's going to make a big play out of it. He's a guy who's going to play, I would imagine, is going to play a lot and be a regular contributor in this offense. So that's an A plus for me. Braylon Allen, he's a guy that I've been watching for a few years. I think I mentioned earlier, he stood out to me as a freshman at Wisconsin. And, you know, I started taking notes on him and recording some of his highlights that year, have stayed, you know, kept up on him since then. Again, my hope was the Jets wouldn't take a back in this draft. And if they did, I was hoping it would be a sixth or seventh rounder and then maybe wait for another veteran to shake free after cutdowns, because, you know, running backs, they have bigger needs than that in my mind. Of course, I'm also a big Izzy Abanikanda guy, and this, you know, the way the Jets approach this draft looks like that will seal his fate with the team, which is unfortunate. But I still gave it a B because it's a good player. He's going to play. He'll be your RB2. He's not going to be in a situation where he's only going to see the field 10-15% of the time. And if he does, when he does see the field, he's going to touch the ball and he's going to have an impact. Could be a goal line guy too. Probably be their goal line back. Might score 4 or 5 touchdowns as a rookie and as a backup running back. So it's a B for me for Braylon Allen. Good player, good pick. May have gone in another direction if it were me, but I don't hate it. Jordan Travis, of course, round 5, the FSU quarterback. Love this one. I mocked him to the Jets many times in some of the pre-draft mocks that we did for our show. And just, you know, when you're just sitting in front of your computer and you're like, let me pop up some mocks and see you know who's projected to be where. I think I even took him earlier. I think I took him, you know, just after sort of 110, 111 a few times. Jets get him at 171. First time in a very long time the Jets will have taken a quarterback who will have a chance to sit and learn behind another quarterback, two other quarterbacks, into Rod Taylor and Aaron Rodgers. So love the player, reportedly loved in the locker room, great leadership. We know he protects the football. We know he throws an accurate ball, and we know he can run really well, whether it's by design or under pressure, which is just a must in today's game, and it's something he brings to the table. I give that pick an A, probably outside of Corley, my favorite pick. Fifth round, 173 overall, Isaiah Davis, same as you, Scott. I give it a D, and it has nothing to do with the player at all. I watched a little bit of him pre-draft. I liked him. I liked the way he was used. I'd actually forgotten that I had some highlights on him, and I pulled them up last night, and I see him, you know, being used, South Dakota State, using him as a lead blocker on QB keepers and things like that. So he's a hard-nosed guy. He's not afraid to get after it. He's got good lateral agility. I think he can be a very good player. But I'm looking at this and thinking, how much is he going to play? Even if, let's say, Izzy Abanikanda goes, this is your running back 3. Unless there's a plan to make him a fullback and get him involved in the offense, which I don't know that that's the case, but in just trying to figure out the logic and taking a third running back when a guy like Christian Mahogany is still on the board, that's a guy who can be a starting guard fairly soon, I imagine. And you still have needs on the O-line. It's funny to me that we spent all offseason talking about the need to rebuild this O-line, or, you know, all the pre-draft process. And I think most people assumed there'd be a couple of linemen taken. I didn't expect them to take more running backs than linemen, you know, as I'd said earlier. Round 5, 176 overall. So that's a D. I think I said it. That's a D pick for me, the Isaiah Davis. Then Quantez Diggers, really tough to grade him. Other than some highlight stuff, I have no all 22 on him. The CFL games aren't exactly on television all the time, so all I've really seen is highlights and read some scouting reports. Based on that, I'll give it a B+. Not only that, but because of the need. Like, this is a need. The Jets, I talked about it before the draft, that I didn't think cornerback was getting – we weren't hearing enough conversation about that, because after Sauce, Reed, and Echols, you've got nothing. And even Stiggers might be a project. He may not even be ready this year. You know, there might be some other guys there. You know, we talked the other day, Jarek Bernard Converse. Like, there might be some options. But they were definitely thin at corner, and there had to be a move made there. I mean, one thing you can see, you know, we say all the time, right? You can't get a good idea what a player does just from some highlights. But that dude can jump, and he can high point the football and pluck it out of the air. So that's something you want to see from a corner. Jalen Key, it does seem the Jets, if you look at Joe Douglas, B+ on Stiggers. Jalen Key, the Alabama safety, has some versatility, plays in the slot a little bit, plays deep. Joe Douglas, whether he's trading for a guy like a Chuck Clark or drafting a guy, it's his safeties tend to be 6th, 7th round and sort of UDFAs outside of the Ashton Davis pick several years ago. That's where the waters he's been fishing in. Even if Bernard Converse gets some reps there, he was another late day three guy. But he, again, fills a need, versatile player coming from a major program, being able to play for Nick Saban, that almost bumps you up a full grade in itself, because, you know, that guy's just they're just a football factory. So I give that pick a C+. Overall, what hurts the grade most in my eyes, the two most damning things, two of your top three picks are used on guys who will be at best part-time players. One of them may never see the field. And then the taking a second running back where you could have taken an offensive lineman, and they still need some offensive linemen. And they didn't pounce on that, and really don't have the cap space to go get another one, at least not anytime soon. So overall grade for me is a B+. And again, this is more about the approach than it is the players.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Glenn, before we start going through each round and talking about our favorite and least favorite picks, I should say that part of why it went down to a B, despite the fact that I did give A's to two picks, or an A-minus actually for Jordan Travis, but still, and mostly high marks other than the Isaiah Davis pick, is because I also deducted points for some of those weird trades. I thought they got a little too cute, bypassed some good players in the fourth round, and ended up trading out of the opportunity to grab some guys that could come in and actually do something meaningful right away. Again, it doesn't mean that the guys that they got were bad, but I think they might have been able to get some better players at the spots they traded out of, and I thought in a sense they may have outsmarted themselves. Not the end of the world, but I did deduct a little bit from the overall grade because of that. Let's start with round number one. I'm not going to talk about guys where the pick was obvious. I'm going to talk about value. So picks that I really liked from a value standpoint, or picks that I didn't really like from a value standpoint. We'll go round by round. I'm not going to do a ton of these, just a couple in each round, but I absolutely am floored by the Michael Penix Jr. pick, and I know you agree with me, Glenn. Nothing else really needs to be said beyond what's already been said. Michael Penix Jr. will be 25 at some point this year. Kirk Cousins has a contract that will keep him on the field for the next 2 to 3 years. Michael Penix Jr. won't see the field until he's 28 years old. The Falcons are in a position in a very wide open NFC, and especially a wide open NFC South, where somebody that could come in and make an impact right away could have really helped them. I don't understand this in any way. I also am not that high on Michael Penix Jr., certainly not high enough to pick him at number 8, and certainly not high enough on him to turn down some good trade offers. Bo Nix was a strange pick. I don't really love it, but I understand why Denver did it. They were afraid that they weren't going to get him if they traded down. So it's not one of my favorite picks, but ultimately I understand why they did it. I love the Brock Bowers pick for the Raiders. I know it's a bit of a weird fit, but over the long haul, I think he is going to be a really potent weapon for that Raiders team. Once they settle in at quarterback, they should have some guys there that could help them over the next couple of years. I will say this too, by the way. They've got Josh Jacobs, they've got Bowers, they've got Michael Mayer, so they could do a two tight end thing. They've got Devontae Adams. Minshew's not terrible. That offense could put up some points. I'm not sitting here telling you they're going to compete with Kansas City, but they've got some players there. I really like the Troy Fatanu pick to Pittsburgh. He grew up a Steelers fan at number 20, good value. I think he'll be a pretty good guard there for the Steelers. Jared Verse, really good pass rusher. I like that value at number 19 for the LA Rams. I know you like that one too. There are arguments in his favor as far as possibly being the best pass rusher in this draft. Two of the guys that I think are possibly the best value in this round, Quinion Mitchell, who I think was the best defensive player in this draft, the cornerback from Toledo, goes at 22 to the Eagles. Can't believe he just slid right to them and they didn't have to make a move up. What a fantastic player that fell to the Eagles at number 22. Terrion Arnold, who I think was the second best cornerback in this draft at number 24 to the Lions. Another one, it was stunning that he fell. I like Graham Barton to the Bucks at number 26. I think he'll step in and make a big impact right away. So those were some of my favorites and least favorites there. I also didn't love the JJ McCarthy pick at number 11, but I can't really kill it because it seems like that's sort of where everybody had him slotted. The Penix one was way worse, and I would say certainly the Bo Nix one was worse too.
Yeah, I think we talked about the Penix thing on draft night, and I think I mentioned to you that on our show, our live broadcast, we got a lot of mileage out of it. I think we spent the rest of the night referencing it because we were in such disbelief, and I said this with, you know, I wasn't being, you know, trying to be funny because it's not funny, but I messaged Chris and Dylan about 3 hours ago and I said, I'm not, and that's what I said to them. I said, I'm not trying to make a bad joke, but I'm literally still thinking about this Michael Penix pick. It might be the worst pick I've ever seen. I mean, you're talking top 10 pick on a dude who might be almost 30 before he starts his first game, which is unfathomable to me. And it's funny, Scott, you know, when you had Nick Fiery on the other night and he said he thought the owner looked upset about it, I just kind of said, well, I don't know that he would be because Ian Rappaport said before the draft that that was what Atlanta was going to do. But in Nick's defense, I didn't see the footage till tonight. And that those war room cameras, they caught. I mean, Arthur Blank was in his GM's face right after the pick. And you could see the GM, a lot of hand gesturing and almost like he was explaining depth chart, you know, putting one hand over the other. And he was doing some fast talking to talk to Arthur Blank, who did look pretty unhappy. So weird that ESPN or NFL Network said it might happen. And then when it did, Arthur Blank did not look one bit happy. And I don't blame him. Like I said, think of another time a team took a player in the top 10 and thinking by the time he starts, he might be 30. It's absolutely mind-boggling. So that was by far, not just this year, might be one of the worst picks I've seen any year. The pick that I liked the most in the first round was probably Ricky Pearsall to the 49ers. I think he was a guy who, there was some late hype on him. You know, he had a great Senior Bowl. But I saw people, even in the days leading up to the draft, I saw some people saying, you know, oh, the Jets should consider him at 70, whatever. I didn't think he'd go in round one, but I said, there is no way Ricky Pearsall's getting out of the top 50. And as it turns out, he stays in the first round. And now, you know, we're hearing that Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, one of them is likely to be on their way out. So you would assume Pearsall's going to get an opportunity. And with what San Francisco has done with their wide receivers, it's hard to imagine him not having quite a bit of success there. Jared Verse, I thought, was one of the best value picks. I think he was a top 5 or 10 talent. I mean, the power that he generates when he's rushing the passer, you'll find a few, watch enough of him, you'll see a few plays where he literally just drives into the lineman's chest and carries him back and uses the lineman like a battering ram to knock the quarterback over. To get that guy at 19 is, I mean, and then to pair him with Braden Fisk later, that's a great job by the Rams. You know, you're trying to figure out how to get over losing Aaron Donald. That's a pretty good start by getting a couple of guys like that. The Bo Nix pick, I think I projected that a while back. I just felt like Denver's, they're one of those teams right now, right? Like they need a quarterback, and you kind of felt like Bo Nix was going to be the best one when they were on the clock, and it did play out that way. So that was that one made a lot of sense to me. And Darius Robinson to the Cardinals, I like that a lot. Really, really good versatility, powerful guy, can play inside and out. Put on some weight at Missouri to bulk up to be able to hold up inside, which he proved he's able to do. Did a really nice job at the Senior Bowl, and propelled himself into that conversation. So those are some of the guys that I like the most in the first
round. Two, I like the Ladd McConkey pick at number 34 to the Chargers. They lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams this offseason. McConkey gives them a guy who should be able to step in and develop some chemistry with Justin Herbert right away. I liked the back-to-back cornerbacks, Kool-Aid McKinstry at 41 to the Saints and Kamari Lassiter at 42 to the Texans. Kamari Lassiter is an interesting guy, really good tape, but people were down on him because he ran a slow 40. To me, in the second round, if you get a guy with his ability, I'm not really as worried about the 40 time. He was up against excellent competition the whole time in college. I think he's going to be fine in the pros. Jackson Powers Johnson, the center out of Oregon, going at 44 to the Raiders. I thought the Raiders did pretty well the first couple of rounds. I did not like the Jonathan Brooks pick to the Carolina Panthers at 46. I know Brooks is a Texas guy, so people are going to be surprised that I'm down on the pick. I like Brooks. It's just that he's coming off a really bad injury, and for them to pick him at number 46 overall seemed like quite a bit of a reach to me. Tyler Newbin, a really good pick for the Giants. He's a ball hawk safety. I think he'll be a really nice piece in that defense. Remember, they did lose Xavier McKinney this past year. I really like the Zach Frazier pick to the Steelers at 51. There is no player in this draft that was more Pittsburgh Steeler than Zach Frazier, all the way down to him trying to get off the field and not cost his team. By the way, West Virginia won that game. Zach Frazier is tough. Steelers fans are going to absolutely love him. I like the Patrick Paul pick to the Dolphins at 55. Still a little bit raw with his technique, but he has the upside to become a really good tackle in the NFL. Cole Bishop, another ball hawk safety, going to the Bills at 60. Like that one a lot. I don't love the idea of the Jets having to deal with him two times a year. I also like the Kingsley Sumataya pick by the Chiefs at number 63. Yeah, he's rough around the edges. He needs some development, but the Chiefs have a really good offensive line. They have a really good staff in place. And so I think with the right coaching, he could turn into a really good player, and they don't have to rush him. That's the beauty of the Chiefs, is that they can take their time and develop him. I think he has a chance to be a really good player with the tutelage of the Kansas City coaching staff.
Yeah, for me, Scott, I have to agree on the McConkey pick. Obviously, that was a huge need there for the Chargers after they let go of their top two targets. And let's give the Bills some credit too. You know, they traded down a couple times, added picks, and they got a really good player in Keon Coleman, who, as we discussed early on in the process, he was getting talked about like he was going to be a guy who went much, much earlier. Johnny Newton to the Commanders. I mean, Commanders, I thought, had a nice draft for themselves. But Newton kind of up there with the Jared Verse mentality or the rationale. He's a guy who, for much of the season, every mock you looked at, every mock draft simulator, and just watching him on film, Johnny Newton was consistently a top 15 guy. And then all of a sudden, all these tackles come up and start, you know, tackles and quarterbacks and receivers, and the DTs start getting pushed down. So here's a guy who a lot of people had as a top 15 guy, and the Commanders get him at 36. So that's a really good job by them. Fisk, I already mentioned, and here he is in the second round getting paired with his former college teammate. They're going to be playing together with the Rams. Jonathan Brooks, the running back out of Texas, really good player. And listen, they've got to get their young quarterback. They've got to get him some weapons and take a little bit of heat off of him. And I think that's the goal when you look at what they did on offense in this draft. You mentioned Tyler Newbin, kind of to me reminiscent of Brian Branch last year. Mm-hmm. Not so much in their play style, but Right. Both of them have the ability to get to the ball and pick it off. And both of them probably hurt more by their pro days than they should have been. You just kind of watch them on film, see how quick they react to what's going on in front of them. And they play a lot faster than their 40 times, because their 40 times were not very impressive. I did mention liking the Commanders draft. They got a couple of guys here as well. Couple of my favorite guys in this class, Mike Sainistrill, who I've been talking up for probably a year, the corner out of Michigan, can play the slot, can play the outside. And then, and then Ben Sinnott, who I think was probably like a Brock Bowers light, you know, as this process was approaching, and everyone knows I wanted Bowers. And I thought, well, if they don't get Bowers, maybe you get Sinnott later on. But he goes in the second round. And Ennis Reikestraw to the Lions, really physical corner out of Missouri. Fits what Detroit does, fits their mentality. Kingsley Suamataya, I'm not going to say I don't like the pick. I don't know when he's going to be ready to play. I don't know if Kansas City is expecting him to play right away, the BYU tackle. But from what I saw and a lot of what I've read from other observers, they kind of think he's a guy who might need a year. Kansas City, having lost some players on that O-line, I don't know if they're expecting him to play day one. But I don't know that he'll be able to, and that's not to say I don't think he'll be a quality player. He moves really well, gets out in front on swings and screens, and takes guys out. So good player, just not sure he'll be ready to go by the time they need him to.
Round three, I love the Malachi Corley pick. That goes without saying. The Jets did a great job there, in my estimation. I like the Commanders getting Brandon Coleman, the guard from TCU, at 67, one of the more underrated players in this draft from where I sit. Cooper Beebe, talk about a steal. Wow, if he'd have gone in the second round, I'd have thought that was really good value. The guard out of Kansas State, I think the Cowboys got themselves a potential impact starter there. Braylon Trice, the outside linebacker out of Washington, I think he could have a real impact for the Falcons and help make up for the fact that they didn't grab somebody that can help them right away. At number eight, Kieran Amagaji, the tackle from Yale. He should come in and push for some playing time with the Chicago Bears. He's obviously not going to overtake Darnell Wright, but he could compete for the other tackle spot. Don't really love the pick of Matt Consalves, the offensive tackle from Pitt at number 79 to the Colts. Just wasn't all that impressed with him. Christian Haynes, the guard from UConn, guy that could have gone in the second round. Love that at number 81 for the Seahawks. Think he has starter potential too. Dominic Puny, the guard out of Kansas, who has some tackle ability too, going to the Niners at 86. The rich get richer there. Like that one for them. Tyke Smith, this was a little bit higher than I thought he would go, but he was one of those players that I thought was one of the more underrated ones in the draft, the safety out of Georgia. He goes to the Bucks at 89. Think he could definitely develop into a starter. Jalen McMillan, the wide receiver out of Washington, this was too high for him, I thought, at number 92. There were other receivers that I probably would have taken ahead of him, including Troy Franklin, who went in the fourth round, so that one was not one of my favorites here. And then Luke McCaffrey at number 100 to the Commanders. He may very well be a solid player, but my God, the meteoric rise of this guy, it's crazy for him to wind up getting picked in the third round. I thought maybe the fourth, maybe, but the third round seems a little high. But he could be a good player, so I don't hate the pick. Just to me, like I said, value was a little off.
Yeah, for me, I'll start at the bottom of the round because of the bottom four picks, those are three of my favorite players in this class, and a couple of them went earlier than I thought. McKinley Jackson. Jackson went a little later than I expected, but I guess the mocks were kind of knocking him down a little bit. Throughout the year, he'd been rated much higher. But McKinley Jackson out of Texas A&M, I like him a lot. Peyton Wilson, he's a guy who's, you know, he's a top 50 player, if not for the age and knee injury history. So that knocks him down quite a bit. But him in Pittsburgh, again, Pittsburgh, they had themselves a really nice draft. I think they're going to love him there. And Luke McCaffrey, who I spoke to at the Senior Bowl, and really for a guy who, you know, with those bloodlines, with that family, with what they've achieved, he couldn't have been a more humble, personable, laid back guy, super professional. So really rooting for him. Zach Zinter, looks like his injury didn't hurt as much as people thought it would. There were some folks who thought he would really get knocked down. He ends up going in the third round, and, you know, really happy for him. Goncalves, the guy you mentioned, Scott, he's probably the one I watched. I didn't watch him till very late in the process. I'd heard the name. A couple people mentioned him to me, and I watched and thought, okay, maybe a guard. I'm not really sure. I don't see it because, you know, people were talking him up to me, and I just didn't see it. I didn't think he was a guy who would go this early on. Isaiah Adams went to the Cardinals at 71. I really liked him. Illinois product, played tackle and guard. Probably, I mean, he'll play guard as a pro. And Caden Wallace, I think he's a question mark. I thought he looked really good on film. I think it's going to depend on the type of scheme. I don't think if you're going to try to run a lot of stretch outside zone type stuff, I don't think Caden Wallace is your guy. But if you're going to run power, I think he can be a really good tackle.
Fourth round, Chidavion Sanders, the tight end out of Texas with the first pick in the round, number 101. Love that one for the Carolina Panthers. I think he has a chance to be a really good player. Again, a little bit biased because he's a Texas guy, but I think he has a chance to be a pretty good tight end. Troy Franklin, the wide receiver from Oregon, going to the Broncos at number 102. I'm a little bit worried about Franklin because of his frame, but in the fourth round, look, this is a guy who can play. He may not necessarily be somebody that you wanted to take in the second round, but by the fourth round, that is really good value in my estimation. Another receiver I like, Javon Baker from UCF, a little bit older, but I think he has potential to be a really good wide receiver. Don't love the fact that the Jets are now going to have to face him two times a year. Javon Foster, the offensive tackle from Missouri, going at number 114 to the Jaguars. I know you really like him, Glenn. Think he could at some point develop into a starter, and in the fourth round, that's certainly something that has value. Malik Mustafa, the safety from Wake Forest, I like that one, to the 49ers. He has a chance to potentially develop into a starter as well. And probably my favorite pick in the round, Jaden Hicks, the safety out of Washington State at number 133 to the Chiefs. Like I said, I think the Jets should have taken him. He could have pushed for playing time right away. The Jets are very thin at safety. And when I watched Jaden Hicks, every time I would see Washington State, he would always pop. Somehow he was always making plays. So that was a guy that I think was great value at the back end of the fourth round.
Yeah, with Hicks, it's funny. We joke a little bit on my show because a couple of years ago, Washington State had a couple of players that I really, really fell in love with. And I think I probably watched every Washington State game that year. Mainly Deion Henley, their linebacker who went last year, and Cam Ward, the quarterback transfer. Thought those guys were fantastic, so I became pretty familiar with Washington State defenders, and in that time, I became a big Hicks fan, and him and Mustafa, who you mentioned, were my sort of the guys at the top of my list of safeties I wanted the Jets to take. Mustafa, of course, goes to the Niners, and Hicks goes to the Chiefs. I thought they both went a little bit later than I would have anticipated, but not by too much. Tyrese Knight, the UTEP linebacker who went to Seattle, I'll say it's me, and I'm missing something. I watched a few of the games, and I'm not saying he was a bad player, but for the way I was hearing him talked about, I expected a lot more from the couple games I watched, and like he came across as like, okay, he's okay, but I don't think he lived up to the hype based on what others were saying about him. Javon Foster, of course, who you mentioned. Evan Williams, funny enough, Evan Williams was another one of my safeties, you know, with the My Guys shows we do that I mentioned, but I had him below Hicks and Mustafa, but he goes to Green Bay at 111. So that's an interesting pick for them. And I really like Cedric Gray, the linebacker out of North Carolina. He goes to the Titans. I think he's a good, you know, three down backer. He can cover, he can tackle, good pursuit, plays with a good motor. So I think he'll be a nice fit there.
Fifth round, I really like the pick of Cedric Van Pran, the center from Georgia to the Bills at number 141. Wasn't happy that the Bills were the ones that picked him, but so be it. I thought he would have been a good pick for the Jets. Spencer Rattler at 150, the quarterback from South Carolina. That's just really good value. I know there was talk about him being some sort of character concern because of a video from when he was in high school. At that point in the draft, in the fifth round at number 150, you roll the dice as far as I'm concerned. Jalen Carles, three-year starter at safety at Missouri, sometimes took poor angles on the ball, but he ran a 4.5 40 in the 40-yard dash. He's 6'2", 230. Some scouts think that he may have a future as a linebacker. So at this point in the draft, maybe that's what they're going to do with him. It sort of does remind you a little bit, though, of what the Jets tried to do with Hamza Nasruldeen out of Florida State. Didn't work out, but in the fifth round, I like the value, and it's worth a shot. Aeneas Smith, the slot receiver out of Texas A&M, going at 152 to the Eagles. I think he has a chance to be pretty good there. Jamari Thrash, really good route runner out of Louisville, going to the Browns at number 156. The Browns are loaded at wide receiver, but anytime you have a guy that can run routes and be as smooth as Thrash is, he's going to have a chance to stick. Muhammad Kamara, the pass rusher out of Colorado State at number 158 to the Miami Dolphins. He's a guy that basically just does one thing. He pins his ears back and goes and gets the quarterback in the fifth round. Nothing wrong with taking a shot on a guy like that. You never can have enough guys that can get to the quarterback. That's one thing that every defensive coordinator and every head coach is going to tell you. Really like the Jordan Travis pick, obviously, by the Jets. Really didn't like the Isaiah Davis pick by the Jets, though, so it sort of cancels out there.
Yeah, I think not just for the Jets, but for the whole round, that Isaiah Davis pick, my least favorite in the group. But some other guys, some picks that I really did like. Anthony Gould to the Colts, I was happy for him. He was a guy that some projected as a seventh rounder or UDFA type. He's one of the players we did a write-up on, a pre-draft scouting report. Just love his explosiveness. He's not quite Tank Dell in terms of his ability to, you know, move laterally and create an enormous amount of separation. But really, I think Tank Dell is in a class of his own in his ability to do that. But I think Tank Dell maybe opened the door for some of these 5'8", 5'9", receivers to get a closer look. And I was glad to see him go, especially to a place that's probably going to have a high-powered offense if their quarterback can stay healthy. Cedric Van Pran, who you mentioned, here's a guy that was getting talk as a top, you know, first round, mid second round guy earlier in the year. For whatever reason, he plummets. I really don't know why. I mean, he played at a very high level for Georgia. Something wasn't adding up there. I would have loved the Jets to have grabbed him. I did a top, you know, 25 players to watch before the start of day three for the Jets to, you know, Jets fans to keep an eye on. And I had him on there saying that if the Jets grab him, he could win a starting job. And I do believe that. I think he's that good. Rattler to the Saints makes sense there. You get him, you plug him in behind Derek Carr, and you've got a mentor for him. And Brennan Jackson, again, another Washington State guy. But Brennan Jackson is a guy, if you watch him year to year at Washington State, he kind of grew and got better as a pass rusher every year. I think that they really have added to that front seven, especially just to that D line, that front four. I think Jackson's going to have an opportunity to make some plays. And another Colts pick, Jalen Simpson from Auburn, versatile player on the back end in the secondary, played some safety, played some corner. I think he can be a nice move piece for a defense.
In the sixth round, at number 184, I really like the pick of Malik Washington to the Dolphins. Sadly, I didn't want him to go to the Dolphins, but he has potential to be a really nice slot receiver. Small guy, but in the sixth round, that's good value. Johnny Wilson, the absolute opposite. Nowhere near as polished as Malik Washington, the wide receiver out of Florida State. Johnny Wilson going to the Eagles at 185. But at 6'7", 230 pounds, he's the kind of guy that's a boom or bust. If you are able to bring him along and develop him, he could be a really nice player for you. If you can't, he might be out of the league in a couple of years, but in the sixth round, that's a good place to take a swing. Mekhi Wingo, the defensive tackle out of LSU, going to the Lions at number 189. I like him. Think he has a chance to be a rotational player right away and eventually maybe develop into a starter. Don't understand the pick of Joe Milton III, the quarterback out of Tennessee, to the Patriots at number 193. Not just because they picked Drake May. I'm not against necessarily doubling up on quarterbacks because we've seen it work in the past. Kirk Cousins and RG3 is a good example. I talked about Heath Shuler and Gus Frerotte as well. But I just don't think Joe Milton is any good. He's got a big arm, and that's pretty much it. I don't think he's going to turn into anything. I think he's a poor man's Ryan Mallett, to be honest. So that's not a direction I would have gone. It's a sixth-round pick, so you can't get too mad about it. But I really don't think much of Joe Milton at all. One of the steals of this draft, Glenn, you and I talked about this, at number 210, Christian Mahogany, the guard out of Boston College, to the Lions. I don't know what's going on there. Did he just fall through the cracks? Is there something medically we don't know about? Were there off-the-field character concerns? Because just watching him play, he looked like a second- or third-round pick to me, a fourth-rounder at the worst. To slide all the way to the sixth is crazy. He's another guy I would have liked to have seen the Jets take a swing on, maybe with one of those fifth-round picks. Bo Limmer, the center out of Arkansas, I like that pick for the Rams as well. Think he's going to be a pretty good player. And at number 218, the Baltimore Ravens taking Devin Leary. That one I just don't understand. They could have had Michael Pratt there, who I think is a better prospect. Devin Leary's a guy that I think with the right development might be able to turn into a serviceable backup. I just don't get the logic of picking him over Michael Pratt.
Yeah, we talked on our show about the possibility of the Jets taking Devin Leary as an undrafted free agent or round seven. I did think there was some chance he'd get taken because, you know, we've heard so many, well, mainly, primarily Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl. He said several times on social media, he said while we were down in Mobile talking to him, that he could see this being the weakest day three in a very long time because with NIL, so few underclassmen declared, so a much smaller pool of players. So that's when you start looking at it and thinking, well, are there quarterbacks who wouldn't normally be drafted or might get drafted this year? And I think that's where Joe Milton and Devin Leary come into the conversation because Milton, the way he played, and I liked him when watching him last year playing for Hendon Hooker when he got injured, but I didn't think he was very impressive. So I don't mind that the Pats took him. I personally probably wouldn't have drafted him, at least not before round seven, but they get him at round six. Leary, again, a guy who I thought had a chance late day three. He does go there. Not sure how I feel about the pick. I don't love it. But I definitely don't love Malik Washington to the Dolphins. The Dolphins really just know who they are. They're like, we're just going to draft really, really, really fast guys. And that's how you get Jalen Wright, and that's how you get Washington in this spot. So they're always going to be a tough team to defend. Johnny Wilson to the Eagles. That's an interesting match only because Eagles fans aren't the most patient fans in the world, and Johnny Wilson drops a lot of footballs. So things could go downhill in a hurry there if he doesn't clean that up. Taewon Palmer from UAB, I thought he might be a UDFA round seven guy, but Arizona takes him. I mean, listen, it is kind of splitting hairs. We are in round six at this point, so you know the way these guys are graded are going to be less than a point. But Mahogany again, he's another player we did a profile on, a pre-draft profile. Really thought he was going to be a third round pick at worst. He was an absolute monster. If you look at his relative athletic scores, the guy moves really well for someone who comes in at 320, 330. So I would have loved for the Jets to have taken him earlier. That's an absolute steal for the Vikings. Daquan Hardy out of Penn State, another good pick for the Bills. Again, he was a guy that I looked at late, knowing the Jets needed corners, and pre-draft, I mean, knowing they should take a corner and wondering if they would tab him on day three. They didn't, and the Buffalo Bills did.
Seventh round, Brendan Rice at number 225 to the Chargers. That's an interesting pick. I thought Rice was getting a little overhyped based on his name when people were talking about him as a possible third round pick. But in the seventh round, it makes me wonder if something was going on there because he certainly should have been in the mix to be a high day three pick. To slide all the way to the seventh round makes me think something might have been going on. Talked before about Michael Pratt, the quarterback out of Tulane, at number 245 to the Packers. I like that pick a lot. Obviously, he's not going to be challenging Jordan Love for the quarterback job, but we've seen Green Bay develop guys behind the starter before, Love being an example, although obviously they picked him with a clear succession plan as they did with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. This is more along the lines of when they took Mark Brunell. This is more along the lines of when they took Matt Hasselbeck, but they were able to develop those guys and get a pretty good return on their investment when they traded them away, so maybe they'll be able to do that with Michael Pratt as well. And lastly, I want to mention Kalen King, the cornerback from Penn State. He went at number 255 to the Packers. As I said yesterday, I thought he had a chance to be Mr. Irrelevant if he made it to 257 because we know that Sauce Gardner was very high on him. So we figured that GM LaSauce would have been in the ear of Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh about Kalen King.
For me, I like Trey Taylor, who went to the Raiders, who picked 223, named the best safety in the country 2 years in a row. Just doesn't get talked about. I know when we had Emory Hunt on our show, he was that's exactly what he was saying. He's like, how is this guy not getting talked up more as the best safety in the country twice running? And he wasn't getting any respect. And listen, this is what happens when you go to the academy schools, right? The level of competition and the performance. So that hurt him, but I think he could be a player. Michael Juergens, who I feel like, did I mention him yesterday or something this morning? I can't remember when, but Michael Juergens, the center from Wake Forest, really liked him. He goes to Minnesota to beef up their interior, and I think he could be a guy who turns into a starter one day. Devon Vele, wide receiver out of Utah. I could be wrong, but I feel like he transferred. I feel like I've watched him at a couple of different schools. But good length, bigger receiver, can pluck the ball out of the air. Not the best route runner, but for what he does, for using his length and height, he uses that well. He could be a nice developmental guy at the bottom of the round as well. And last but not least, Michael Pratt. A lot of folks said he would be a round three or four guy. He ends up going all the way in round seven. So looks like a little bit of a steal there for Green Bay, and a great gamble, right? We talk about it all the time. Like, take a quarterback every year, take one late. If he doesn't work out, it's no skin off your nose. If he develops, you've either got a cheap contributor or a guy you can then turn around and flip for a second or third round pick after spending a six or a seven on him.
Glenn Naughton, editor, JetNation.com. Thanks so much for coming on with me and putting a bow on the 2024 NFL draft. Really appreciate it. Make sure you check out everything Glenn is doing over at JetNation.com and listen to him on JetNation Radio. Follow him on Twitter at JNRadio_Glenn. Check out everything we're doing at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. We've got some great All-22 reviews courtesy of the Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant. Olufashanu is up there. Malachi Corley is up there. Braylon Allen is going to be up there. Make sure you watch those videos and subscribe if you haven't already. YouTube.com/PlayLikeAJet. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. It doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital, PlayLikeAJet.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.